Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
What's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 406, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
Doing well, Parts.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff.
Yep, same to you.
Oh, thank you, sir. We're also joined by your lovely bride. We have sweet Susie with us today. Susie, how are you?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a good Christmas?
Very nice Christmas.
Low-key
this year. Warm, quiet.
Yeah, those are good things.
Yeah.
Especially the warm part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy shoveling snow on Christmas Eve.
Mm-mm.
Was it a surprise? Was it one of those Minnesota surprises?
I had no idea.
The worst.
Because they said, oh, there might be like a little bit of freezing rain overnight. And they said nothing less than an inch accumulation. So on Christmas Eve, I'm laying in bed and Georgina comes in. It's 7:30, 8 o'clock. She comes in the bedroom and they have a skylight in their bathroom. Mm-hmm. So she says, there's snow on the sky, on the window in the bathroom. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it looks beautiful. There's a lot of snow. I said, don't tell me that. So I look out the window and there's like 3-4 inches outside. I'm like, oh no. But it was all, I did shovel. I probably didn't have to because it basically melted by late Christmas.
Not a problem. Yeah. And then you get the rain after it gets rid of it. Not a problem. Now it's going to warm up next week into the 50s. No big deal.
But did you have Christmas at your house?
No. So we did Christmas Eve at my parents, and then we did Christmas at her dad's house.
Oh, that's nice.
But obviously we do Christmas morning with the girls at home, but then for dinner we went down there.
Nice. So it's not like you were thinking you needed to shovel for other people or anything like
that. No, but I wasn't expecting the shovel, so I'm out there shoveling the snow going over. But it ended up being fine.
Good. Mike misses shoveling snow.
Do you? It's actually like the one day I don't totally hate it, because if there's snow on the ground for Christmas, it's not that bad. Like if you're in Rhode Island, you might as well have a white. If it's going to snow, it might as well snow on Christmas, right, Bill? Is that in the playbook, or is that?
That's right out of the playbook. And I'll tell you what, I didn't like it because it hampered our plans. You know, if it snows, we're not going to Connecticut. You know, if it snows, we're not going to your uncle's. So it was all that nonsense.
That's true.
It was a very long drive from your mom's house to your uncle's.
Yes.
My uncle lived in a different city. That's unheard of in Rhode Island.
Yeah, you could throw like a ball and hit his house from your mom's.
That's also a good point.
It was a different city. You had to get on 37.
I know.
It was a 15-minute drive. You can't. That's a long
drive. It's a 15-minute drive if there's somebody slow in front of you.
Frank and Hilda had to move across the bay because that's where their kids lived.
They had to move from
19 minutes away to get to 7 minutes away. This is complete Rhode Island playbook right here.
Gotta
go to the other side of the bay, Pods.
That's funny. That's a good point. They moved to the Warwick Mall to be closer to you and me.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I had no idea where 295 went.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. Like, I don't think I ever went past like Fiddlesticks until I was like 20 years old.
Right.
Like, there's an exit one in Rhode Island? That's crazy.
But the first time I went to Danielson, I was like, where are we going?
Oh, yeah, that's in the middle of nowhere. You feel like that was like the time you're like, oh, he might just murder me here and leave
exactly.
me in the woods. Yeah. Especially going up that driveway.
Yeah.
Oh, that driveway was miserable.
That was the worst. Your mom liked parking up at the top. My dad would park on the street, like down below, and we'd walk up that dark, winding driveway.
Yeah, somehow she got Nicholson preferred parking. I don't know how she scored that. Yeah, we got them Nicholson preferred parking. I mean,
she had like a little placard reserved for D. Hurley.
It was absolutely perfect.
I'm down on the street two towns over. It was like going to a URI game. My dad didn't want to pay for parking or something. I don't know what was going on with that.
Get to park at Heidi's and like take a bike.
Like it's easier to get out. We get right on the highway. We get right out. This is not traffic. There's 36 people there, Frank. Come on. I don't think we need to have.
He didn't want to pay for parking where? Down at URI?
Oh, no, at the PC games. We'd park up like on Federal Hill. Go to the Providence Civic Center. We'd be crossing the highway.
Back then, it was like $10 to park too. It was cheap.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Oh, this is easy. We get right on the highway after the game. It's like I'm pretty sure you can get right on the highway from the paid parking too, and then we don't have to walk 6 miles each way. I didn't know
because there's nothing safer than hoofing around downtown Providence. At 11 o'clock at night.
You have that occasional 9 p.m. game that's on, like, ESPN2.
You're seeing things. Dad, what's that guy doing?
Don't worry about nothing, it. Nothing. Keep your head down. Keep moving forward.
And it's just all alleys. It's like it's the city that's 300 years old. There's no safe areas. You're constantly
all one-way
cornered
streets.
You take the
wrong turn, and you just could be lost for a week in Providence.
And save $4, so.
That's right.
You and I are doing valet. Hey, you know, I'll give you another 30 if you shine it up a little bit, clean the windshields, exactly. You know.
We definitely didn't get that from our parents, did we? Because your old man wasn't like, your mom was a little bit, but your old man was cheap too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he used to beat down the parking attendants, didn't I tell you that?
Oh, yeah, and the Christmas tree guy.
Yeah, the Christmas tree guy, Harry Donabedian. My dad would beat up Harry Donabedian. We go to Ted's New York System. Oh, yeah. You know Donabedians, right? On Warwick Ave?
Yeah.
So our ritual was we used to buy a tree, and we'd always go to Ted's. And then I knew, here we go. Here, Diane, you know, we're out of the house for 2 hours. She's cleaning, vacuuming, all this stuff. Here we go. He's going to beat Harry. What do you want for this? Well, Bill, it's $20. Yeah, but it's 2 days before Christmas. They're all dying. You're going to get rid of them anyways. I'll give you $15. I paid more than that, Bill. I don't care what you paid for it. He's like, you're gonna lose either $15 or it was the most embarrassing thing. And then we go to like a URI game downtown, and he'd pull in. How much? $10. I'll give you $5. Nope. Okay. My dad would throw it in reverse. A guy would start chasing him down the street. It was just he had to beat somebody up for a few bucks. That was his deal. It was so embarrassing.
That's funny.
It's all a negotiation. You had to win, huh?
But he always got the deal on the tree?
Oh, always did.
Because he bought it on the 23rd.
Yeah, we bought. Yeah, I mean,
did you guys really wait that late to get your tree?
We waited pretty damn late. Yeah,
well, like the week before, like the 15th, 18th, or whatever, like that? Or even
it might have been whatever like the weekend before was. So,
yeah.
You know, if Christmas fell on a Monday, then, you know, we had the tree up a day before.
All right, take it out. You probably had it down on the 26th, too, right?
I mean, the greatest thing was when that thing would tip over, because my dad was a hothead like me, too. There was one time it just, all the ornaments fell off, and he's, you know, three, I'm going to throw it out the effing door, and we're not having an effing Christmas tree this year. Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh, so you come by it honestly, huh? This pan's going out the window.
That's how I am with the tree. Trying to get it in the stand. Is it straight? I don't care if it's straight. Will it fall over? I don't know. Make sure it's straight. Just tighten it up. I'm done. I've never had an artificial tree fall over on me. I'll say that.
No, you don't have to, because you don't have to screw those stupid things. That was miserable. Trying to screw that thing into that bark at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Your hands are all sticky.
It's worse taking it out. Bringing it in is not bad because it's all wrapped up, but taking it out is the worst. They don't do the, I mean, down there, everything's trucked in, right? The Christmas trees, the real ones.
They don't have farms
down there, do they?
No, I don't think so.
They
probably don't grow here.
I can't imagine that would be local down there.
You know what?
I think there are some, but not around here. I think maybe a little further north they have some.
Oh, like get like cut down your own palm tree and put it in the house for Christmas and decorate it?
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Put a couple Coronas down below it.
Yeah, there you go. That's not the worst idea I've heard.
No.
I'm sure somebody does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not too bad. You playing any golf? How's the golf course doing?
Oh, the greens are slow.
Are they?
Yeah, greens are slow. I played this afternoon.
Why is that? Do you, is it just the time of year?
I don't know, because usually they're fast. I know they had a girls tournament a couple weeks ago, and it was mm-hmm. like literally they slowed it down. I don't know if they slowed it down for that, but they've just been a little slow.
It just probably grows slower this time of year, right? The grass?
Yeah, yeah. We're going.
But they're probably not cutting it as often, or maybe it gets a little shaggy or something.
I know the member guests, so, ooh, boy, they get that
like
thing
glass.
Slippery. Oh.
So you're telling me I got to keep practicing?
Yeah.
I figured out
I was asking about that today. About, like, what you get in the pro shop during the member guest.
I believe it was called a shopping spree in the email,
yeah,
right?
It's a Peter Millar shopping spree is what it's called.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was close to I was at Golf Galaxy a couple weeks ago, and we were on the putting green in there, and I tried one of those arm lock putters, and it spoke to me. Like the one Bryson uses, like the long shaft, and you hold it up against your arm.
Yeah. So you liked it?
Oh, I loved it.
So it's in your bag, I would assume.
No, I could. There was no price on it, and I knew if there's no price on it, I definitely can't afford it.
It's
at a golf store.
Put $250 on this card. Put the other remaining balance on this one.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. But
it's a good putter when you're dispersing it over multiple credit cards.
That's true.
What's my
Can you make your regular putter an arm lock putter, just to, like extend the shaft and put a big grip on it?
I don't know.
Or is the weight
my guy
all messed up? Yeah, I gotta find a putter guru for that. But I'm happy. I think I figured it out though. Tonight,
Susie's intrigued. Before you lose her, did you want to tell her what you figured out with your putter?
I'm doing a smaller back and a longer follow through, and I'm like extending the follow through out to my target, like over exaggerating. I think you do that sometimes, like you do like the slow. You continue the follow through on the putt.
Could be
like towards the target. I think I've seen you do that, but I was doing.
I made
that
some good rolls today.
I think that could be the case because I was getting it online every time. Even though I have like a perfectly flat putting mat in my basement, I still miss mm-hmm. like 7 out of 10 8-footers.
Yeah, those are like almost you shut your eyes and you make those.
But this one I made like 15 in a row with this.
Now, are the girls like a caddy, like on the practice green? Do they just sit there and throw the balls back to you?
Yeah, so sometimes they'll sit in the chair. And every time I make a putt, they go, oh, a hole in one. that's what I'm talking about. When I play golf, like I get back and they ask me, how many hole in ones did you have? I said, none. Oh. What did you shoot? 93. Is that good? Not really. Oh, okay.
93 is all right. That's you know, the right first there. Time I went to Fenway Park with your dad, I told him that I think Yaz could hit the Prudential Center.
That would be a long. That's a, quite. What's that like 900 feet?
Oh, it could be even measured in miles.
Oh, you think it's miles? That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, the Prudential Center is by far miles. Yeah.
Oh, is okay.
Yeah.
That'd be quite the shot. I mean, if anyone could do it, it would have been Yaz, but
it would have been Yaz, right? Yeah. I mean, the shots that he hit in your backyard when I was playing catch with your dad.
Oh, forget it.
Oh, he used to hit some shots.
Moonblast. They'd be putting those on the trackers now. They do those home run trackers in the playoffs now with the exit velocity. There'd be some good exit velocity on
those.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Is there anything else you want to talk about, or should we take our first break?
What are you doing, Susie?
I'm Googling how far it is from Fenway Park to the Prudential Center.
Are you really?
So we'll have the update when we get back.
Yeah, we will when we come back from break.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon world. tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
We are back for break, episode number 406 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And this week we're going to do a little Christmas Eve trip review. You guys headed up to property for about half a day on Christmas Eve. First time going on Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
Incorrect.
I had a memory pod. We were at Artist Point a few years ago.
But you didn't go in the parks, right, on Christmas Eve?
Right.
Oh, that is. I'm sorry. Yep. I'm sorry.
Okay. But you were on property before, so that's kind of a halfway. Did you get the mileage, Susie, for the Prudential Center?
It's just under a mile, 0.9.
Oh, he could do that. 0.9 miles, yeah. So that's like 4,000 feet. That's not too bad.
Yeah, he would have back in the day. Mm-hmm. If he was on PEDs and he had a cork bat, I think he could have done it.
He could have got that, yeah. That's not too bad. I don't know if it might have had to be a foul ball depending on the direction of everything, but. Either way. So let's talk about this Christmas Eve trip. What spurred this on? What was the impetus for this decision here?
Really, it was the fact that Mike's cousin was out of town this year.
Right, because you usually go over his place, right?
Yeah.
And have steaks on the lanai.
Mm-hmm. Or we'll have them over on Christmas Eve and we'll go there Christmas Day.
Gotcha.
But he was up in Rhode Island, so... We were talking about what to do, and Mike said, why don't we, and I had the day off. Usually I have to work on Christmas Eve, but because Christmas fell on a Saturday, the market was closed on Friday.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I had the day off. So Mike said, well, we could go up to property. And I said, yeah, we could do that.
I think you actually mentioned it, though, prior. And whenever you say we can go up to, let's go to property, then I jump over.
Oh, did I mention it?
Yeah, you kind of said, like, should we see if there's any reservations or what they have for Christmas Eve?
Hmm.
Look, you were thinking of doing the cabins, right? You looked into that a little bit potentially, but it was too expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially
for what
you paid.
Yeah, I kept getting emails that said there were deals, you know, right before Christmas, and I kept looking and we didn't see anything that was going to let us bring Rhodey with us, so.
Yeah. So, you guys wanted to go up, see what was available. Now, you ended up at a new place. Do you want to say it now, or should we save a surprise?
Billy?
Oh, you can say it. You can surprise it.
All right. So you ended up at a new place. Now, my question is, were you looking for that in particular, or were you just seeing what it was available and that one popped up?
No, we're kind of looking for that.
You had that that was on the short list.
Yeah.
What else was available when you looked?
That's a problem. Not much. We were looking for some of the usual suspects.
Even like
Cali Grill
would have
been
good.
Yeah, Shula's would have been perfect. Shula's wasn't. Cali Grill wasn't. Narcootsies wasn't. Citricose wasn't.
No, so not a whole lot. Because you're looking for a signature style. You probably didn't want to be in the parks for the meal necessarily.
Well, then we started talking about going Italian. And I said, well, could we do, you know, in Napoli or something at Epcot? Could we do Il Molino?
That wouldn't be bad. Now, what about, now I know obviously this isn't where you went, but did you look into that the Takumi Thai in Japan?
It's not open.
Oh, it's not even open right now.
I don't think it's open yet. Yeah, I don't think it's open.
Well, never mind.
We did talk about doing Teppanyaki, though.
Well, that was on your Christmas Eve
my list.
Top five. Yeah.
Takumi Thai would have been nice. That would have been nice. Real nice, actually.
Different,
that would have been, if it popped up, I would have said, hey, you want to do this?
Yeah.
So because it certainly is a special occasion place because it's so expensive and it's so three hours out the door.
Yeah, I was going to say, I put that a couple notches below Victoria and Albert's, but pretty much above any other. As far as like time and money. yeah, for that experience. It's not,
from what I hear, it's expensive.
It's quite expensive, and like you said, it's like a 3-hour meal too.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a bad thing. You guys like that, but it's just, it's quite an investment.
Yeah.
When you're on a vacation anyway.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, when it's, we don't have to worry about kids getting bored or any of that stuff or not eating what they serve.
Right.
Or getting you don't have to hand somebody a
tablet before they even bring you the waters.
I've been there. What, so where'd you end up going then?
We went to Amare.
Amare, and that is a new-ish restaurant at the...
Just opened in November, yes.
In November, and it's at the Swan Reserve, is that the name of the...
The Swan Reserve is the name of it.
So where... Tell me about this. Where is the Swan Reserve? I'm pretty sure I know. I think they were building that still when I was there. That's right near the golf course, right? The mini golf?
It's right next to the golf course.
Okay, yeah, so they were still working on that when we were there in the summer.
Yes.
There was a construction zone when we pulled in. So that's right there. It's just a high rise in that area, basically.
Yep.
Okay. And how was it? Did it have its own lobby and everything? Pretty nice in there, or was it?
Yeah.
Is it part of the Swan and Dolphin, or is it its own separate hotel? Okay. So it's like a new block of rooms in the Swan and Dolphin.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
I don't know if they're under the same management group.
Gotcha.
But I assume they are.
Yeah, with the name, it has to be, right?
Well, the name, and then they share some of the amenities.
Oh, okay.
So you have access to the pools. You can use their main
pools and everything.
Nice. Is that the only restaurant in there?
In that building? I think they might have a quick serve, too.
Yeah, sit down, okay. Now, what got you about this place, Amare? Why was it on the front of your list? Just because it was new, or I know, I mean,
because I checked out a few YouTubes on it.
Okay.
And my good friend, Tom Morrow, Paging Tom Morrow.
You like his YouTube.
I think his content's fantastic.
Right.
He seems like he's a very likable guy. So I watched him and I said, oh yeah.
The menu is just nice.
It's a nice menu. Yeah. Now, Mike,
but it's, you know, all stuff that we like. So
Mike was giving me trash because I said it wasn't a menu I loved because it was small. Like there was a few things on there that I would order and I'd be happy going there, but it's not high on my list because
there's nothing that grabs you and you're like, oh, I have to have that.
Yeah. Like the steak I would definitely have, or even the mahi-mahi, but like outside of that, like the chicken sounded good, but it wasn't something that I'd go out of my way to get and that kind of thing. And Mike kind of said I was being a snob, but I think it was the opposite. I don't think like the stuff grabbed me, but nothing sounded bad. I didn't have bad thoughts about it. It just wasn't high on my list.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, how was it? What was the atmosphere like in there? What would you like about it? Or did you?
When we got there, we had a 5 o'clock reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were only maybe two other parties seated when we were seated. So it was very quiet.
Is that when it must open around five?
It opens at five. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we thought we were going to be late. And so I was going to try and call and they weren't even open. And then we ended up getting there pretty much right on time.
Right on time. Okay.
But I mean,
you know, there's an accent on I-4. So now it's going to be a half hour later than what we.
Right.
And it was the easiest drive. I was surprised for Christmas Eve. We just cruised right through. And then her GPS said that we were going to pull in at like 5:01. So we were like in the restaurant at like 5:04. So.
Oh, nice.
But it had, you know, they had a tree. It was decorated really nicely for Christmas. Like the. Where we sat was really comfortable. Had like a little banquette. With some pillows, and Mike had a chair.
Now, what's the theme? Like Mediterranean?
Yeah.
Yes. That?
Okay.
Yep.
Is the whole resort like that, or just the restaurant itself?
Just the restaurant itself. Yeah. The resort's very modern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like it is modern, modern, modern.
Yeah. So that's not really your. Well, you like the modern, but
I love modern. I love
even
it.
In the hotel. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the contemporary resort on steroids.
Oh, really?
But it's
just the chandeliers. Yeah, but it's beautiful. I like the chandeliers, like as you take the escalator upstairs, is just gorgeous. The fixtures, the bathroom, which I think I sent you a picture of with the sinks.
Yeah, you like the, yeah. It's like upscale modern. It's not like that Jetsons modern. Yes. Like it's not like the pretend kitschy modern. Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like he'll, you know, we'll watch, you know, like real estate shows or whatever, and mm-hmm. they'll be like these, you know, modern homes in California, and I'm like, there's no way. And he's like, I love this. I'm like, no, it's like it's a box. It's too.
It's a box, but inside it's bland. Just all the fixtures are just.
But this
so
is
perfect.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice. So tell me, what'd you guys end up ordering at the at Amare?
What didn't we order?
Oh, yeah, you did a lot of different things here.
So we got a couple of appetizers.
Of course, yep.
We did the calamari.
Now, the calamari is charred octopus? Wasn't that what it says on the...
No, it's regular squid.
Oh, okay. I thought there was like a charred octopus.
There is a charred octopus as well.
Oh, okay. That's a separate one. Gotcha.
Because I was kind of leaning toward the prawns, as you know from our show a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But for some reason, calamari is always, we have certain measuring sticks.
Yes.
As far as our favorites, I would say I like Portofino in Rhode Island. I like the Capitol Grill. And I like Narcoossee's. Those are probably my three all-time favorite calamaris.
Now, where did this one rank?
Because the calamari at Narcoossee's is actually called
Rhode Island calamari. Yes.
This was right up there.
It was up there.
Now, was this one that had like the tentacles or just the rings?
Had a lot of tentacles.
I like the tentacles.
I do too. Which works out well because Mike doesn't. So
yeah, same with like Sarah doesn't like them either. So yeah. It works out good. But I like when it has it because you know it's like fresh. It's not like just the frozen rings they get in a bag and they bread them and throw them in the fryer.
We got a piece. It was maybe the biggest tentacled piece I've ever had.
Oh, really?
It was incredible. But yeah, the breading was great. It was nice and light. They had two different sauces. They had one that was like a tomato red pepper that I obviously didn't really care for. And then they had a creamy one that was
like
excellent.
An aioli or something. Yeah, that's good. So your first option lived up to the hype, I guess you could say. What other appetizer did you get?
We got a margarita flatbread.
Okay, yeah, those flatbreads sound pretty good. How was that, like, size-wise? Was it pretty big, or...?
It was good size.
It was good size. 6 pieces, maybe?
Yeah.
So if you ordered that as an entree, that wouldn't be the... Like, if you had an appetizer and that as an entree, it wouldn't be, like, the worst
I think thing. You'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd be fine.
I don't know that you could eat the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we didn't want to ruin our entrees, and so we decided to bring half of it home with us.
Oh, nice.
But, I mean, it was cooked to perfection. We looked at the bottom, and it was just that dark charred.
Yeah. Like coal fire, wood fire.
Yeah. And it was, oh, man, it was fresh.
Well, and you know your cousin, too. Like, he would almost always rather have meat on his pizza. So I had to talk him into the margarita, which is my favorite pizza. And this one was a little different because it had ragout on it.
Oh, okay.
Most margaritas don't.
Instead of the mozzarella, yeah.
It had mozzarella and ragout.
Oh, it had both. Okay.
Yeah. And it was, so he agreed to try it and he loved it.
That's good.
Where did you go, Bill?
He's just leaning back.
Just leaning back. I lean back sometimes. Our server was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Shout out to Ryan. He was great.
Our server was phenomenal. And they picked him off like a pizza joint. Like Orlando.
Really?
Yeah.
Just randomly? They like, headhunted him?
Now, I don't know if they headhunted him, but he came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. He was good.
He was excellent because I had some questions about the menu and he, you know, made sure he got them answered very quickly. And then when I did order something, he's like, I just want to let you know that this has, you know, vermouth in the sauce. I'm like, nope, that's fine.
He must have Pete likes meat. must have been there warning him about the alcohol and the sauce.
I thought the same thing. I was going to ask him that. Yeah. He got his rear end handed to him on his first opening night.
Yeah.
Because it was vermouth in one of the. Peter like Meter just destroyed this.
Destroyed
poor guy.
Him. Yeah. He's sitting there with his. You know, I got to tell you about my server, Ryan at Amare. He didn't tell me there was vermouth in the king prawns.
Yeah. He's having us opening up his third pack of heaters.
So tell me about the entrees.
So I had the sea bass.
Oh, okay.
Which was incredible.
Now, talk about
this. Is that
a go-to
for you, or are you a sea bass? Like, do you
I love sea bass, but they actually had a special that night. They had a seafood bouillabaisse that sounded amazing, but it had fennel in it, which I can't stand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once I saw that, I was kind of set on seafood. So the sea bass looked like a great option. They do it in parchment paper.
Oh, okay.
And they serve it on a bed of kale, and they do it with thyme and garlic and some potatoes, olives, tomato. Didn't he say there was lemon on there too, Mike? Like really thinly sliced lemon? And then they do like a lemon white wine, almost like a beurre blanc that you pour on top when you open it. It was so good. And I don't like a lot of lemon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like a lot of places are a little too heavy with it. But
it can
this
overpower
was
the fish, especially like
exactly.
A sea bass, which is an expensive, like,
yeah,
you want to taste the fish.
Right. But
like
it was
if you
perfect.
If you have like a cod or something and
you smother
it
in whatever,
lemon,
right?
It's like, okay, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It just absorbs the flavor. But yeah, if you have an expensive sea bass, you don't want to only taste lemon.
Right.
Not just a note of it. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
Yeah. What'd you get, Mike?
I did the porterhouse.
You didn't do. You were like so tempted with the chicken. You just couldn't.
Yeah,
the trigger,
I was tempted with a lot of things.
And the mahi, you love mahi.
Yeah, I love mahi.
He almost did the sea bass too.
How is the steak? How does it hold up to the other steaks you've had at Disney?
So he comes out, and they have like the steak sauce. Can you see? Does it show on the menu what kind of sauce it
just
is?
Just says it's a red wine sauce.
Yeah, I got it.
So he comes out. First of all, when he said, how would you like it cooked? And I said, medium rare. He goes, ooh, mm-hmm. Red in the middle. Chef's going to be real happy to hear that. I said,
oh,
that why? Do they really? Yeah, so I'm like, do they really get? Because I've heard chefs don't like it when people say well done.
I've heard that too, because the problem is, like, people complain it's tough then. Like, you ask for it well done, and then you complain that it's tough or chewy. It's like,
that
well,
it's
yeah,
chewy.
I burnt it. What do you expect?
So he's like, yeah, chef's going to be happy to hear that. So he comes back and he's got this sauce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he poured the sauce on her, asked her if she wanted to. And so he, during the presentation, poured the sauce. So he explains what the sauce was. And he said, you know, would you like me to pour some? And I said, you know what? I said, it's a porterhouse. It's fine by itself. And I said, do you recommend it? He goes, chef firmly believes that this is the way to complete this dish. I'm like, then fine. I want it the way that the chef wants, you know.
Yeah, that they
has
it prepared.
So he poured like not a ton, but just a little bit, and it just added a little bit. It wasn't like an A1. It just added just a little bit to the steak. I mean, it was
good though.
It was really good. And like he came back and he said, he goes, how's everything tasting? And we just said, we're blown away. Everything here has been great, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm going to go tell the chef in a couple minutes. He'd be happy to hear that. And I said, he said, this is a really good steak. He said, we'll put this up to Shula's across the street. And I'm like, I've been to Shula's a number of times, and that's by far my favorite steakhouse. And this is as good of a steak as you can get. I mean, it was thick.
Yeah.
It was cooked to perfection. It wasn't. You know how you can get it sometimes grizzly when you get a porterhouse,
yeah.
Especially obviously on the New York Strip side, it can be a little rough on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fall off the bone on the sides. The filet was fantastic.
Well, and I'm not a medium rare person. I like my steak a little more cooked than that.
Yeah.
But I had a bite of his and I told the server, I said, tell the chef that he might have just converted me to medium rare with this steak.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Well, you liked it, didn't you?
Yeah, I loved it.
I mean, it's way too much for you, but you would order that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and it'd be like three meals for me.
You know, I've kind of, it's funny though. I think people get kind of like squeaked out by the red in a steak that's rare or medium rare. Cause Sarah's the same way. And she always like, anytime I made steak, she said, just burn it. And I would burn, you know, whatever, however she wants it, I'll make it. But I made some steaks on the grill this summer. And I think they were just New York strips. They may have been a T-bone. And it was a T-bone, as a matter of fact, because close to the bone was more rare. And she was cutting through and she wasn't, I said, just try some. And she like closed her eyes. She didn't want to look at it. But she's like, oh, it's so tender. I'm like, yeah, well, that's kind of the trade-off. It's more tender and you get the flavor of the meat like when it's less cooked.
Is that the problem? Is that it's just the blood?
Mm-hmm. I think some people.
So you have a problem with the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the taste or whatever.
I like the taste. Steak. It doesn't look.
It's the color.
It looks raw to me. And I'm like, I can't.
Oh, okay.
It's a mental block for some people. I can understand that. But it.
Yeah. I mean, you know how I am with blood to begin with.
Yeah, that is true.
So it sounds like you guys both made good choices and everything was good. So. Based on that, I mean, you nail a fish and a steak, it's hard to think you'd mess up a chicken or a pork or anything like
that. Right. Those are two of the hardest. They did say, though, that they're thinking about changing the chicken dish up a little bit.
Yeah, he said that for like in January, the chef's going to change up the menu a little bit.
Well, places like that seem like they change the menu often. They'll probably have one or two things that stay on, but then they rotate a lot of the stuff around with seasonality and things like that, which is nice.
But there were other things on the menu. We already said we'd go back because there are other things on the menu that we want to try.
The mahi, the chicken. They're always going to have a special. The prawns I want to try.
Those dumplings, the lamb dumplings.
Yeah, they had these lamb dumplings. The guy said that you have to try them.
Oh, really?
Said it's like the chef's grandmother's recipe or something like that.
Is that an entree?
Yeah, what's his heritage anyways? Remember, didn't she say what he said?
Yeah, now I can't remember.
But it wasn't like Mediterranean or Italian. It was like...
Not Greek or anything? Because lamb's big in Greece.
I don't know. He was saying it was a recipe from his grandmother that he brought over.
I don't remember what it was. I don't think it was Greek because I think I would have remembered that. But, yeah. It's an entree, but they said it's small.
Oh, okay.
So they said you could get it as an appetizer.
Almost get as an appetizer. Yeah, that's interesting.
So then they serve the bar. There's a bar that's right next to Amari. It's not inside, but it's on the main. When you walk into the Swan Reserve, it's the first floor, and you pretty much have to take the escalator. It's kind of like the Contemporary.
Okay.
To get to like where all the food areas are. So it's on the second or third floor, and they have a big bar. So I saw the service constantly bringing out plates of burgers. So when the guy came back, I stopped him. I said, what is that you keep bringing out to the bar? He's like, oh, it's our sliders. He goes, we have a special bar menu. And I'm like, I almost took one off the plate. I said, you're walking by and they smell just amazing. And he was just saying how his bar menu is, people love the bar menu.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But they said that's the only kitchen in the hotel, so it does all of the food. So,
makes sense.
Pool bar, the bar, and all the room service comes out of that kitchen.
So the bar is attached, but it's not like that's the lobby bar, basically. At the hotel, but it's
kind of attached
to the restaurant anyway.
Sort of, but not really.
Gotcha. Did you get a cocktail, Susie?
It might. Yeah, you did. You got a glass of wine, correct?
You got glass of rosé prosecco.
Oh, okay.
That was very good. And then at the end of the meal, he asked if we wanted dessert, and we were stuffed,
mm-hmm.
and we were already bringing home some of my fish and half of the pizza. And I knew, you know, we were going into the park, so I figured we'd maybe have something then. But he asked if we wanted some complimentary Sambuca.
Oh, really?
So I was a little hesitant because, again, like, licorice is not my favorite flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought, you know what? It's Christmas Eve. What the heck? We'll try it. And it was a pretty generous pour. And still not my favorite.
No. Okay. Well,
it wasn't awful. I mean, I had a few sips of it. Mike had a couple of sips of it, but it was very strong. But I thought it was a nice thing that they offered.
You didn't like it, Mike?
No, because I just don't like licorice.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had Sambuca. I didn't even know it was licorice flavored Sambuca. I've heard it, but I didn't know anything about it.
So obviously we're vlogging this.
Right.
So I think it was the manager came over and said, hey, I just wanted to check in, make sure everything's good, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, everything's great. She's like, are you like a vlogger? Do you have like some? I said, I got a little YouTube channel. I said, but we don't have enough. I said, we don't have the viewership to like bring you down or rise you up. I said, so we got like a couple hundred viewers.
That's funny.
But the service there was, I just thought the service was fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the place was empty. And I'm like, it's weird. Like I told the server, I'm like, you know, I went on Open Table. I said, and you barely had any reservations. There's nobody here. And he said, well, it's going to start filling up, you know, as the night progresses. And it filled up a little bit, but nothing. And I said, yeah, this place is still empty. He's like, we can't get help.
He's so they can't even take the tables because they don't have the servers.
He's like, they don't want to overwhelm us because we can't all handle this. I'm like, that is amazing. Here's a place where you're probably making $200-$300 cash in your in tips plus whatever you're making.
Right.
And you can't get I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
No, this is the type of restaurant where they actually probably recruit, or you need seniority, or, oh, this new place is open at the Swan Reserve and they have 10,000 applications. Like, no, that's just a sign of the times right now. You can't get anybody to work.
So after your meal, you guys headed over to Epcot. Is that correct? You had a park reservation for Epcot?
Yep.
What time did you get over there?
7-ish?
Maybe
a little past 7?
Yeah, because it was getting to be about 10 minutes to 7. Or 7 when we left the restaurant.
Did you walk or did you drive?
Yeah, we walked.
We walked.
How's the walk? Like, where do you park over there?
So you park, they have a parking lot there. And I don't know if they split it with Fantasia Gardens.
They do.
So they do. So they give you 3 hours complimentary parking, which, I mean, the other places that you got to pay. So it's three hours. And then the girl who checked us in, she said she gave us a validation. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So now we don't, you know, have to move the car or
just leave it there. Yeah.
Because I said, you know, we could drive over to Epcot. I said, but depending on the crowds, it could be miserable trying to get out of there. It
could be just as much of
on Christmas Eve
to get into the park.
Because the walk itself, what would you say? It was a good, you know, 15 minutes.
Yeah, somewhere like that.
I mean, you basically, as soon as you cross the street, you're at the main pool at the Swan and Dolphin. So.
Oh, it's not that bad. Yeah, because I only
just walk past the Swan and the Boardwalk, and you're right there.
So it's not too bad then.
Mm-mm. No.
So what? By the time you got to Epcot, I know your plan was to get in line for the candlelight procession, the last one. Now, how was that? What was the crowds like in Epcot when you got there?
There wasn't a soul there
at Epcot in general.
There was
nobody there, Bill. You know, you know when you walk in, you probably don't walk in the back too much.
Not that much. No.
But when you walk in there, there's usually, no matter when you're there, there's traffic from the UK going into France.
Yeah.
Because you have like that little bridge.
Yeah, always that way. Yeah.
And it's always trafficy over there. There's nobody there. We're walking. There's nobody in France. There's nobody in Morocco. So then we get up the candlelight processional, and if you're looking at the stage to the left, is where they lined up for the dining package.
Yeah, those are like the fast pass or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nobody in line.
Huh.
And it's about 7:30, and I thought the show was at 8. So I Google search, it's at 8:30 still. It's an hour before the show.
Right.
So we go over where the general admission is. There's 5 people in line. And one time when we went into general admission, this line was past Italy.
Right. I remember you telling, yeah.
It was, and it like wound Italy. Around like back into like a horseshoe shape and then went back out. And it was
going
still
into
past
Germany.
Italy.
It was ridiculous. So I asked a guy standing there. I said, sir, is this the line to the candlelight processional? He's like, yeah, you know, it ends right there, blah, blah, blah. So he pointed. It was literally, what were you, like number 7 in line? Because I went to the bathroom and you got in line. And
yeah, there was one family in front of us.
That's crazy. Like, you would think on Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be busy anyway.
Exactly.
But even Epcot, just in general, it wasn't. Is Epcot just dead always now? Like, is it just the least popular park?
It looked like it was. There were a lot of people who were waiting to watch Harmonious when we left.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't bumper to
it
bumper.
It wasn't packed.
No, yeah. It wasn't that, like, where you're like, I'm, I got to get out of here.
But there were more people who were waiting than I expected, given
how
light the crowd seemed.
Yeah. You would think on Christmas Eve, like, all 4 parks would be like a 7, 8, or 9 on the crowd level.
Right.
And it just sounds like it wasn't. I mean, obviously, you didn't try to do any rides or anything, but it was just dead. Not what you expected at all, sounds like.
No. No, it was slow. So they start letting us walk in. So there's a family in front of us, and Granny's in the wheelchair. So they're all still finishing their fish and chips from the UK. So this guy behind me says, would you like me to push Granny for you? And the people are like, yeah, thank you. That'd be nice. So I look at him. I said, where's that accent from? He's like, I'm from Australia. So I'm like, what's it like over there? I heard they, you know, put padlocks on your doors and you can't leave and this and that. So he goes, yeah. He goes, you know, we have like 2 cases. He goes, and the whole country's on lockdown and blah, blah, blah. And he said, I've noticed, you know, on my holiday that down here and in the States, you pretty much just going to live with it. Like, yeah, I guess, you know, it's 2 years in. I guess that's kind of like the only option.
Yeah, right.
I was talking, I asked him, I said, like, how long do you come down here? He's done 6 weeks at a time. They've done like RVs and driven across country. And he's got Disney Vacation Club and they're staying at Wilderness Lodge now. So I was telling him, you know, oh, have you done this? Have you done? Oh, no, I haven't done that. I was telling him, you know, Geyser Point. So then we were talking about, I told him I had a YouTube channel. So he gave me his phone. He's like, type the name of your YouTube channel. So he ended up subscribing to it. He found our email. He emailed me. I don't know if you don't see it because you don't check our email.
I didn't see it.
But funny. He emailed me. He's like, yeah, I'm going to watch. He goes, I just subscribed. I'm going to watch your videos. Nice hanging out with you. Because so he sat with us and his family.
Oh, nice.
For the processional.
How was the processional? I mean, you like it anyway. Was it a particularly good one? Like, what would you say?
I thought it was very good.
It was something special about being there Christmas Eve.
Did it feel different because it was Christmas
Eve? Oh, yeah, it did. It did. You know that the Christmas Eve feeling to begin with?
Yeah. I guess it's different. You do on, like, November 29th. Doesn't feel the same.
Right.
Yeah, right. But lead soprano for Voices of Liberty is just amazing. I mean, she hit these notes that a lot of humans just can't even consider hitting.
Hmm.
She was phenomenal.
That certainly helps.
Yeah.
Having like the talent, like, you know, involved in the production of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good show. And it's nice that you guys are able to do it.
It's so good.
So that made
You know, it's good when I end up crying.
Oh, yeah, you didn't cry at the Styx concert we went to that time, I don't think. What was the one we went to?
Starship.
Starship, that's right. Yeah, you didn't cry at that one.
There was no crying.
Because the guy was, I said, have you done this before? He said, no. He goes, what is it? So I explained to him. I'm like, it's going to blow your mind. I said, it is amazing. So, like, at the end, like, he just looked at me. He's like, wow. I'm like, did you like that? He's like, wow. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I've never met a person who didn't like this show.
Well, and he said they're a Midnight Mass family. So he said, you know, obviously that was the closest they were going to get this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty close as far as that goes mm-hmm. in that epic kind of way.
Yeah.
So after that, you didn't stick around for the fireworks? You just...
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay.
But they had technical difficulties.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No, they kept making announcements that the show was delayed. And it was, what, 3 or 4 announcements? And I finally said, we're going to go.
Yeah, because what were they... What was it? Because the show... What were they, for 9:30? No, they were going to start at 9.
It's going to start at 9.
No, 9:30. No, because our show was from 8:30 to about 9:15. So I think they were going to start at 9:30.
Oh, yeah, you might be right.
And I said it was 9:40. And then I said, all right, at 9:50, if this thing doesn't start, we'll get out of here. And then it got to 9:50 and it still hadn't started. I'm like, let's get out of here. So we were walking home. We walked through the back gift shop real quick to see if they had any anniversary stuff, which they didn't.
No.
And then we heard them.
And then as soon as we got to Boardwalk, we heard the fireworks. So I'm like, yep, figures.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But you still haven't seen that show, right?
Harmonious? Mm-hmm. No, I still haven't, no. Yeah.
Technical.
So then we hit up Boardwalk Bakery before we left.
Oh, okay. Just get some pastries for a Christmas morning breakfast?
No, I wanted to just get a coffee for the ride home.
Oh, okay.
So there was a family in front of me, and they ended up ordering some snickerdoodles, which I actually like.
No, see, I don't like snickerdoodles.
So Kristen's like, I'll get a snickerdoodle. I said, I'll get one too. So we got a couple snickerdoodles and some coffee for the ride home.
How were they?
Fantastic.
So good. Oh,
so good that Mike actually said he wished he had another one.
Oh, wow. I don't like snickerdoodles. That's probably my least favorite cookie.
Are you kidding me?
I don't like it. It's just a sugar cookie with like cinnamon on top. I don't know. I like
guess, yeah.
My mom used to make them when I was growing up, so they've always been one of my favorites.
Nostalgia, yeah.
Yeah.
I never had them, and then I remember the first time someone was like, do you want a snickerdoodle? I'm like, oh, it's great. It's going to have chocolate, caramel, peanuts, like a Snickers. I'm like, this will be great. I'll love it. And they hand me this hockey puck with cinnamon on top. I'm like, what the heck is this thing? So maybe that's part of the reason I don't like them.
Nah, these were like nice and moist. They were really good.
Yeah.
She said moist.
That the Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah. Okay.
Which I hate that word, but...
No, but that's classic Beavis and Butthead. I guess they're my Simpsons.
Okay, there you go. I like them Simpsons. Too, though. I was a little young, but I still liked them.
No, they're so dumb, aren't they?
No, it's the stupidest thing.
She said voice.
Well, on that note, should we take our second break?
Yeah.
Please.
All right, we'll be right back.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. To ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride.
All right, we are back from break. Episode number 406 is in the books of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. We talked about a Christmas Eve trip review. Sounds like you guys had a very nice evening at Walt Disney.
lovely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much. I mean, besides the Harmonious having technical difficulties, not really much else. Sounds like you would have changed or done differently.
It was perfect. I told her it was probably the nice, best Christmas Eve I've had.
Yeah.
With the exception of the old ones when my mom was alive, obviously, in Connecticut. It was just absolutely perfect.
Your best Florida one so far?
Oh, hands down. Just, it was... Yeah. It was perfect. I told her, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be in the parks, either on Christmas Eve or Christmas. Even if it was Christmas Day and it was packed, just to walk in and say that you were in the parks at Christmas.
On Christmas, yeah.
It's just something I had to cross off.
There you go. Would you do it again now that you've done it? Is it like, is it something you want to do again?
Yeah, we said now we would like to actually try to spend the night.
Oh, and we'll spend a couple Christmas nights morning there.
Yeah, and yeah.
You're gonna end up at the cabins, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
if that's that's a lot.
Again, it's just there's a price tag where it's because they had a couple dog friendly hotels, like they had Riverside that was available at a decent rate, but I'm like, I really don't want to sit in a studio with him. Like, I just like having that room at the campgrounds.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's nice because it's your own building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're stuck. You feel like you're in a little house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a little house and you can watch movies and you can cook and you can make a pot of coffee and you can. But like I looked at her like because I made friends because you know how I am. I talk to everybody.
Right.
You know, as soon as you get on an airplane, you're my best friend. I'm a golden retriever. But for them to bring back this and to like make new friends, I said, this is why I love this place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Spaceship Earth. It's not Test Track. It's getting to know like complete strangers from Australia,
right?
And watching Candlelight Processional with them. That's why I love that place.
Well, even remember the first night we saw the Epcot Forever, we were hanging out with that family and they had the special needs kid and they were talking about how they always go
over at the Rosencrown.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy was like a monorail driver.
Right.
He worked security, and he was a monorail driver. Absolutely. Of course I remember that.
Yeah, so same thing. Like, just that same kind of situation where you just meet people and you have the discussion and everything.
Have you asked your cousin that question about the random people, like, social media thing?
I don't know. What are you...
Mike.
This is deep. I need your undivided attention.
Okay, I'm listening.
If you could, you like social media because you like to like just see train wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they could create a social media platform, you had to give up what you have right now, so you don't know what your UConn buddies are doing. You don't know what your Cranston High School West buddies are doing. You have to get rid of everybody who's actually ever been who are in your life. And you could create a Facebook where you could actually see people who you interacted with, what they're doing. So we could be friends with that family who we watched the fireworks with.
Like it's automatic. Like you pass by somebody and just like automatically links
it's
you to them.
It's automatic. So it's like, yeah, you remember like when we went to Hampton Beach back when I was 10 and like I was like talking to
and
this.
Then boop, their stick comes
like
up.
Had ice cream order. And then you could go and see what they're actually doing, like where they went to school, like where they're living.
So you're telling me Larry would be in our social media feed?
Larry would be in that. Larry
no, because it has to be people you actually interact with.
That was the best experience of my life, meeting him.
Yeah, well, we didn't really meet each other.
Well, if he's in there, I'm in. If he's in there,
okay.
Otherwise, I have to think about it. But if he's part of it, then 100%. Oh, even that fake Imagineer we saw on the monorail just to see what his deal is.
Yeah, yes, exactly. You would trade it in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely.
Like the family we met at Vero Beach.
See, Susie's thinking about like good connections. I'm thinking about all the like
the train wrecks
and the train wrecks. Yeah. That girl at the bar that's like throwing her purse at the bartender when you first walk in. You're like, I'd like to see what she's up to. Interesting.
Guy who's arguing about how his luggage didn't get to his room until, 10:30 at night.
Exactly.
Or the guy, who had the sandwiches and the luggage, who they wouldn't.
Animal Kingdom. He had the luggage.
Yeah.
Tupperware and the luggage.
He was trying to hold his whole luggage on the Expedition Everest. So like,
sir, he wanted to use. I was like doing a single rider, and he wanted me or whatever. I'm getting on next to him, and he doesn't want me to get on because he wants to put his damn Samsonite in that seat. It was the most ridiculous thing I ever saw. It wasn't even like a bag or carry on.
No, that was like
he didn't realize that the seatbelt's not going over, and they're not going to waste a space for his freaking tuna sandwiches that we found out later. Remember, we're all sitting there doing bathroom breaks and like getting sodas and stuff, yes. And we're like, this guy has like tuna sandwiches.
They pulled out the Tupperware. They got like cucumbers cut up and sandwiches.
Oh, I mean, they weren't messing around. This wasn't just a tuna sandwich. Yeah, this was very elegant.
There's multiple courses. Yeah,
they had charcuterie boards and stuff. I mean, the thing is that they were like Indian, so I doubt very much that because the guy had like jeans on. It was 98 degrees. I think it was Russian. What?
I want to say Russian.
Either way, didn't he have like jeans on? It was like 94 degrees.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Samsonite, like who brings a bag? Like I've never
borscht.
Yeah, exactly. Cold beet soup.
He was worried one of the workers were going to go through his stupid bag. That guy was pissed. What do you mean? I'm like looking at this guy like this.
We didn't speak English either. They're trying to explain to him.
He wasn't speaking English. He didn't want me getting in next to him because he had. Yeah, he's like we got his arms around the Samsonite bag.
You're just standing there like they're telling me to sit here. I don't know what you want me to do, bud.
You know, again, if you could have that Facebook thing, looking back, he probably had like 2,000 pounds of coke buried under those tuna sandwiches.
His posts are all like the Russian letters. You don't even know what it says, and you're just like enamored by it.
That's why this guy didn't want to let go of his suitcase.
That's probably true. Probably
you want to ride this ride this bad? Just get off and go hide your coke somewhere,
no
dude.
No kidding. No. Oh, I forgot about that guy. Yeah, there's some good people. Just Disney people that you interact
just
with.
Just Disney people. I mean, how many did you... You probably met a million at Pop over the years.
Oh, that's true. There's a couple people I could think of that we met with Schaefer.
I mean, Paul, we could see what Paulie's doing.
He might not want to see what he's doing, but...
We don't want to see what Paulie's doing.
Anyway, let's get off this train right now.
This is a good time for a break.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap things up. Anything else you want to add here? I'm sweating now. All right, that's going to do it for episode number 406. You know where to find us, wdwbtg.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Go to youtube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates. Subscribe wherever you download your podcast and leave us a review. That's going to do it. Anything else? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you, Susie, for joining us. Appreciate it. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Mark, as always. That's going to do it for episode number 406 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. For our guest, Sweet Susie, and my co-host, Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U.